Hi guys, welcome to the very first podcast of IEEE Young Professionals on Entrepreneurship. We have Dr. Anna Zakrzewska as our first esteemed guest. Welcome, Anna.
Hello, Nora. Hello, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be here at the very first episode.
Thank you so much. Likewise, it is lovely for us as well to host you. Just to give a brief introduction of our speaker, Dr. Anna Zakrzewska, a senior principal engineer at Dell Technologies and also the recipient of the IEEE Outstanding Young Professional Award for 2023, is sharing her experiences and insights into the world of entrepreneurship for us through this podcast. Anna has emphasized the importance of mentorship, peer-to-peer learning, and community involvement in professional growth. She also highlighted the significance of diversity and inclusivity in the field of STEM. Anna's patented cell ID allocation technique and Wi-Fi channel selection method have been widely adopted by major telecom operators worldwide, improving connectivity and quality of experience for millions of users. That's some great achievement, Anna. Do you also want to talk about your commercialization experience?
Yes, so part of my commercialization journey is the one you highlighted. So when we commercialized two technical patents, and brought it all the way to the product, that was a wonderful experience. But a part of that, I have been also a technical expert for European Commission, evaluating proposals, applying for funding to enter the market to scale. So how do we bring a research proposal or a well-developed research proposal that has high ambitions to commercialize it later on? I have been doing it for several years, and I have seen great projects. I can't disclose them, but I always secretly follow, knowing the names and the products. Once in a while, I'll check how they are doing. So I must say there are some fantastic wireless products on the market today, thanks to the support of that funding as well.
Thank you. Thank you for being open to sharing all your wonderful experience with the young professional audience. We genuinely appreciate the all support that you are giving. You were speaking about the commercialization of various products and stuff. As the very first question that I would want to ask is, what are some effective ideation techniques for identifying new technologies to commercialize?
There's no one recipe, I would say, for this. So if anyone is listening and hoping to get a step-by-step guide, there's none. However, the key is always to solve the right problem. So when you approach a challenge, ask yourself first if it's the right one, or have you considered all the factors? Are you solving the right problem before you start solving it and you put all your energy into this? I think there is so many problems around to solve that sometimes we get lost and maybe we see only a top of it, whereas the problem might be lying somewhere else, or the solution as well that you're looking for might be in a different direction. However, the key principle remains the same. Always solve the right problem, and ask yourself if you're solving the one.
Yeah, that's very valuable, especially for researchers who kind of are trying to develop new things. It is very common to get lost in that path because, oh, there is some result here, so I'm happy. I want to progress with this. But actually, is this the right answer or right problem? So, thank you for highlighting that part. And speaking of solving the right solution, how do you evaluate the market potential of a new technology?
Yeah, this is a very broad question. So I would say if we are dealing with this high risk, high potential innovations that are breakthroughs, then it's easy. We already know that no one else has done it before, and it may create a new market. It may open an entirely new avenue in the market. However, let's not now diminish other innovations that improve on the existing solutions, and that's the majority of them. So the ideas that either propose a new new method of solving a problem or improve the existing method in terms of the timing, for example, in terms of the cost of a solution or scale of a solution, are equally important, and they disrupt the market or have a potential to disrupt the market significantly. So there are multiple factors that are taken into account when evaluating the market potential. This could be the market size, the market growth ratio, the competition. As we do the state of the art analysis, we also need to do the state of the market kind of analysis. And the potential for growth. So lots of new factors to consider. I would also say for those who maybe try to evaluate the market for the first time, they have an idea, always approach it with open mind. Do not kill your idea. That's my second message. See if there is a potential. You might be looking at a given customer base. Maybe your idea is applicable to another use case, which opens up another market that no one has addressed in the past.
So understanding market insights, having an idea of business perspective adds value to the solution, and that actually makes us confident as well while we are going through the journey of solving it towards the solution. And along with the business perspective, let's delve into the technical perspective a bit. What factors should be considered when assessing the technical feasibility of a new technology?
Plenty as well. I think it's overall commercialization is a very complex process. And when we come from a technical world and from a lab world, I think the first question that we need to assess is whether the idea is able to live on its own. So can it leave the lab? Can the solution leave the lab? Of course, when we evaluate initially the feasibility, we might take into account the lab environment. So we want to demonstrate something. We want to have a minimum viable product or a POC or a demo. And that is the first step to see. However, when we think about the commercialization journey, the several questions to answer is, are there any requirements that we took into account while developing that the solution? Are these requirements vital for the lab development, or will they hold us back from bringing it out there to the world? Does the technology actually scale outside of the lab? Are there any limitations here? What are the challenges that we need to solve before bringing it out? Is it actually viable again in the commercial setting? So it all boils down to the requirements of our potential customers, because especially in the research environment, we need to take certain assumptions. So we live in a simulated world when we perform certain analysis, while the real world conditions are very different. So I come from a wireless background, and naturally we can't test each and every scenario. We have certain scenario descriptions and scripts and settings that we go through in a simulated environment, but putting an antenna out there in the world with the users that we have absolutely no control of changes us a lot. So there is a lot of customer requirements that need to be taken into account. Therefore, it's important to understand what they are before you develop or before you start developing a solution as well.
Yep, I definitely agree with what you're saying. Like having it in the lab as a prototype versus actually in the real environment, there are quite a few changes. So speaking of the prototypes, what are some strategies for developing and testing prototypes of new technologies?
I think the main principle would be to fail fast, in a way. So when we speak about prototypes, when we speak about prototyping, we're doing something that no one else has done before. And that being said, it's natural that our assumptions or the design principles may not always hold. So it's good to be open-minded and admit that some things will not work very often. And so failing fast, learning from those failures, and redoing the cycle. So having that stamina to go and do things again is I think it's the main strategy here. So having enough energy and motivation to keep doing it until a satisfactory prototype is ready to be released.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So guys, please don't let these setbacks stop you or hold you from actually achieving the final destination. Keep trying. And remember that we all are in the same journey, tried and failed and failed. And that's how you reach the final stage.
That no one shows you. So you only see the final product, but it's rarely that you see all the stages in between, and there might be plenty of iterations.
Yeah, plenty of iterations. Sometimes the customers might actually have a different idea than what's and then sometimes things change as you go through the process and all. And speaking of this, how do you involve potential customers and users in the ideation process?
You have already newly given the answer, Norm. Early. Involve them early. The earlier you start these conversations, the better. Because this way you can somehow not test the market yet, as you don't have the prototype, but you will understand the actual need. So coming back to where we started this conversation, when I said about make sure that you solve the right problem, understand the problem, understand the requirements and the boundaries set by the customers or by their deployment scenarios that you may not have in the lab. This will help you shape the solution that will have higher chances of commercialization. But speaking of that as well, if possible, involve also more than one. It's good to have a customer that is heavily involved and provides a lot of input, but make sure that you have a broad overview of the problem, because a challenge in one corner of the market might not be the same in the other one. So this will help you shape the solution, identify where the biggest gains also are. Make sure you involve, if you have a chance, your users, your potential customers early on. Be mindful of the IP in that process, but try to gather as much information as possible.
Yeah. So I agree that diverse customers might have diverse needs, and it's good to learn early on in the stage. I myself had a personal experience, like we do on the product development stuff with the imaging technologies. So when we speak in the healthcare, people speak about accuracy. They need something, the device has to be very accurate in performance. Whereas the same technology, when we look from the agriculture perspective, they are not much bothered about accuracy, but what bothers them is adaptability and how rugged the device is, how robust the model is. So stuff like that. So with each particular domain, as Anna was saying, so the expectations might be different. And
this is an excellent example. Oh, sorry for cutting.
No, thank you. So that's different applications and different customer bases. Now let's look at slightly different angle. So what about different technologies? So if there are multiple technologies, and it gets slightly complicated, and in that case, how do you prioritize and select which technologies to commercialize, or which one is the right one when there are a large number of potential options?
Oh, that would be a very privileged spot and seat to be at, having multiple ideas and trying to decide which one to pursue. I wish everybody this to have this problem. Just for the maybe sake of the time and the discussion here, let's look at a use case with maybe just two, assuming that we have two to select from. What are the factors that we'll be looking at? So similarly to what we discussed when we evaluate the market potential, for the two, we would also look at the potential market size, the market growth rate, but also analyze the risk. And the risk might be related to the adoption of the technology, the timeline. Are we solving a problem which is already today, or a problem that is emerging? Will the solution last for a few years, or is it something that has a much broader and longer lifespan and can last for decades? What is the time to develop the solution itself? Will we have sufficient funding to do that? What is the manufacturing complexity related to that? So there is a lot of business, both business and technical questions to be asked here. And coming back to your very good example, Nora, about having one solution, but being practically applicable in multiple domains, this is exactly an evaluation that needs to be done. Am I trying to address a medical market, as you mentioned, or am I trying to address a market in agricultural sector? Both are very different. But think about your solution. If it's broadly applicable, possibly a wise way to do is to address a broader market. But depends, again, we have the complexity and timelines and cost challenges and questions to be answered. So it's a very complex analysis. And I'm sure a skilled business developer will be able to help you answer those questions as well.
Yeah, it's ideal to have consulting with a business developer or someone just to get those ideas at that time. And thank you for rightly connecting those factors of market potential with the risk analysis and how they kind of make a way and how they lead towards the decision. And as we speak with these customers or maybe the business consultants or maybe the organizations, what are some strategies do you think that we should adopt for building partnerships with all these organizations while accessing or making these new technologies towards commercialization?
I think the key here is really communication. Admitting that we come from two different worlds, so the academia and industry, we might speak a little bit different language, even though it's technical to a high extent, but we also have different priorities. And understanding those priorities, I think, will help facilitate a successful collaboration. So from an academic perspective, maybe the goals is to publish a highly cited paper, a breakthrough paper, make a breakthrough in a technical or non-technical domain. From an industrial perspective, we might be looking for an efficient solution to a problem. In a short-term timeline, because the problem possibly already exists today, while the research, academic research, would be looking more towards the future. So the research agenda might be 10 years ahead, versus the industrial agenda needs a solution to a problem 2, 3, maximum 5 years down the line. So, but we also might be speaking of startups that have maybe longer term overview as well. But I think overall, understanding the different priorities and ambitions in this space is key. I'm sure, and there are many successful collaborations across the world in different corners, in different domains. It is possible to build really successful and great industrial academic partnerships that benefits both worlds. And to me, importantly, also helping make the world a better place. So solving a real problem. So often through these collaborations, we have the access to great research facilities. And at the same time, the research can leverage the industrial knowledge of an industrial partner. So learn about the requirements, learn about the deployment environments, and so on and so forth.
That's so nice way of putting everything together. I do definitely agree that working together, interdisciplinary, translational solutions are the things that make it progress towards a brighter future. And speaking of those partnerships, we have a bit of IP as well involved, maybe between the two organizations or something like that, and which itself is a whole new domain in itself. So it would be some valuable experience for the audience to learn about the IP. So guys, stay tuned to know about IP and how these IP negotiations are done between the partners for the in the next episode with our very valuable speaker Anna, and also we'll be having patent attorney with us to delve into the topics. Let me reiterate what Anna has been kindly advising us today. The first word is to choose the right idea and assess the market and technical feasibilities around that, and keep iterating with the prototypes by taking customer inputs very early on, and select the solution by assessing the market risk. That's where we combine the market analysis with the risks, and also if needed, look at the business and maybe consult a business developer if required, and try to be open to admit that we don't know the complete solution. Be open to collaborations done in a right way and try to make the world a better place. Did I get that right?
That is a wonderful summary. I couldn't summarize it better.
You're too kind. You're just too kind. But we genuinely appreciate your time today, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for joining this podcast and sharing your valuable expertise with all our audience. Thank you so much, Anna, for being there with us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great conversation.